Thursday, November 28th at Camp David. The president called me over at 7:30 this morning. Wanted to go through a lot of miscellaneous things, particularly on White House staff. Wanted to be sure that Klein was included on the staff announcement list Saturday, saying that he's leaving February 1st, but will be staying through the inaugural. Said to use John Eisenhower to handle the Shultz deal if we have any trouble with Mamie on it, convince her that we can close down that former president's office. Wants to be sure we wrap up the Colson office, tell Scally that we're considering another assignment for him, and use Stan Scott as a replacement for Bob Brown. That Alex can't handle the East Wing or Rose Woods problems and went into some examples, so he wants Steve Bull to handle the East Wing from now on. Says we've got to strengthen Ziegler on the color stuff, for example, when the president went to New York. Says he needs a civilian aid for a trip like that, not military, and wants to use Steve Bull. Got into the Peterson problem again this morning. Said that Shultz and Kissinger should sit down with him this afternoon and get it decided today. Peterson's ultimatum, in a sense, lays out a job that gives him ambassador's post with cabinet rank, car, airplanes, and so on, based in Washington, D.C. President says the Washington-based deal is out of the question. The need is in Europe, not Washington. We don't need another second State Department here. He will not provide cabinet rank, that it's the NATO and EEC job or nothing, period. In other words, he's to be told, one, there's no cabinet rank, two, it's not in D.C., three, it's very important for him to take it, but he's got to work it out there. Got into some other personnel questions. He says he has some second thoughts on Brinegar, because if he doesn't want the sub-cabinet post, we shouldn't take him. He's too big for his britches, and we shouldn't let him blackmail us into a cabinet job. He says if Peterson doesn't take the thing, we open both jobs and should put two different people in. The secretary says he wants to put Bo Calloway in one post and fill the other two with Poles or Italians from the Midwest. Wants Helms to move sooner rather than waiting till March, if he will. Helms called me this morning and said he would be delighted to take the Iran post. Wants me to tell Rogers that Irwin should not take Paris since he can't speak French. He wants two labor leaders considered as ambassadors. Wants Balzano and Rogers kept in the White House with the Director of Information Office, also the black. Says Rumsfeld, first of all, said Rumsfeld should get the EEC rather than NATO because he wants to leave fairly soon. Then he said that Hodgson should go to NATO. And then he changed that to Hodgson going to the EEC and Rumsfeld to Geneva. And had some other ideas for NATO, such as Leo Chern or possibly Pat Gray. He's also considering Pat Gray for ACTA. Thinks that Dunlop is okay for the Cost of Living Council, that we should put counts at the FTC, but check Weinberger first, that he wants to get more labor leaders into other departments, wonders why Mitchell is down on McComber at State. Got into the question of the FBI qualifications. Says first, it's got to be the president's man. Second, not a crony. Third, a lawyer. Fourth, an administrator with political skill. Raised Evel Younger as a possibility. Wants me to make a quiet check as to whether he's tough enough. Shultz to call the EEC guy back and use him here. Wants me to order Kissinger to Florida Saturday morning for consultation before he leaves for Paris. Also wants Conley to come down to meet with him in Florida, probably Thursday afternoon. Went into the Kissinger problem. Some wants me to talk to Haig about how to handle it. Feels we probably will have to bite the bullet sooner rather than later because we have to get him under control. If Haig doesn't go with Kissinger to Paris, the president wants to meet with him and discuss the problem. If he does go, he'll see him socially at some other time. He's very concerned about the Kissinger problem and is ordering him down to Florida just to show who's boss, primarily. He feels that we're at a point where we probably can't tolerate it much longer. got into a PR color thing, said in New York there was a lot of good color stuff and we should have gotten a better play on it if someone had been there who understood color. Ziegler's plan of a mic with transcripts won't do it. The guys who listen and take notes are much better. Ziegler is a cold print, unemotional, tactical man. He doesn't have the sense or feel of the color things, unless it's elevated to hot news, such as the Israeli and Jew shaking hands, which anybody would get. But he misses the conversation with the school teachers or the guy at the Waldorf for 25 years. We have a weakness here, and we have to fill it. It can't be a Sapphire who's too cold, Andrews who's too flip and not quite it, Moore who's too slow, although he feels it and understands it, Frank Dale who's not quick enough. It has to be a writer who can write fast. I suggested Bruce Hershenson, who he doesn't know. We just don't have anyone in PR with a sense of it. Ehrlichman's judgment is no good. He reaches too far for the gimmicks. Well, had his meeting with Dole today, which was absolutely incredible. The president made his whole pitch of all the reasons why Dole should leave now, why it would be better for him and everything. And Dole said, well, if I came up here for the hanging, I would at least want to say a word in my own defense. And then went into a long harangue about his own position, that he had said he was staying and he therefore has to stay, that he feels it'll ruin him in Kansas if it looks like he's kicked out. He's totally oblivious to any suggestion that by handling it right, he can avoid it looking like he was kicked out. Came up with some suggestions for appointments and that sort of thing. Art Fletcher as an ambassador, a place for John Rollins, something for Robert Gadbury in Kansas. Said he had a problem raising money for his campaign if he were kicked out, and the president committed $300,000 in a special fundraising effort for him, committed a three-week trip to Europe or Asia for him in the late summer. Then at the end, the president did mention George Bush as a possibility for the job, and Dole agreed that he would be great. After the meeting, we discussed the whole thing. He wants Ehrlichman to get a hold of Bush right away and tell him for a couple of days to play as if his mind's not made up, that the president will call him, because we have a delicate problem with Dole. Dole's problem is that we have to give him a face saver. So, we should let nature take its course for a little bit. And then he wants me to call Dole and say we've got great news that Bush has agreed to take it and start building from there. We got into a flap on Malik today because Fred decided he would not take the OMB deputy and made another pitch for Secretary of Transportation. The president flatly turned it down, won't take the ultimatum, said he could have OEP or GSA, so I've got to call Fred back on that. I made a number of phone calls. I had a long talk with Don Kendall to find out his recommendation on the best Southern businessman for Secretary of Commerce. He said Fred Dent was by far the best. Went through some others who were good, including Clements, who was really the top guy, but we've already got him. Said the only problem with Dent is that he's textile, which is a bad image if he's setting our trade policy. I have to make it clear that he's not. Kendall then went in through a lot of other things. Didn't have any ideas on AID. Is worried about FTC. Because we've been burnt so badly there, doesn't want us to put a young genius in there who wants to build a record. Same thing for CAB. I also discussed the Chapin problem with him, which I'll cover later. He felt Chapin would be an ideal guy for any company in the public affairs slot, and also said he'd take him at Pepsi in a minute if he wants to get into operations. Talked to Conley, and he's going to meet the president in Florida for the weekend. Talked to Rogers, and he raised the point of Irwin not speaking French and said he would be talking to Alex Johnson today. Talked to Mitchell early this morning. He said he had talked to Dole, that Dole wasn't at all receptive to his pitch. He went through the pattern of the full-time chairman, the pitch on Dole's advantage and all that, and Dole said, well, that's what we'll have to kick around up at Camp David with the president. He doesn't want the committee to re-elect kicking him out. Mitchell said, don't tell him it's Bush. He thinks he'll buy it, but he must work it out with the president. The president should say he wants him to stay through the inaugural. He should laud him, say he wants to work together with him in the future and all that, but be very firm. Mitchell thinks he laid a good base, but it'll still take a fairly heavy pitch by the president. Mitchell was horrified at the thought of Ambrose for deputy attorney general, said he was the house guest of a gunrunner in Texas who was also a dope peddler. On the bureau, he said that that's the president's choice, that Kleindienst shouldn't get into it, that Jerry Wilson's lacking breadth and scope, he would be sunk in the bureau, couldn't cope with the nuances, that we should go back to the drawing board on that. He said, what about Arlen Specter, which is, of course, ridiculous. He said the two requisites are, first, he must be completely the president's man, secondly, he has to have the ability to handle the bureau, which means a good politician and bureaucrat. said Harry Dent had called him regarding wanting to be counsel of the National Committee. Said Tom Evans was getting rambunctious and Mitchell was calling him up for lunch to try and straighten that out. Flanagan called with a number of items. He thinks we ought to combine the STR and CIEP to eliminate competition and overlap, handle the legislative problem of why we have the two separate agencies, and to fit in with our streamlining idea and give impetus to our emphasis on foreign affairs. Also, he's concerned about his plan for moving the Department of Natural Resources to a Department of Energy and Natural Resources, including the AEC, which he's been working on with Rog Morton. Also is worried about business contacts and business problem solving, who they look to in the White House. He says if the economic affairs guy's in the EOB, that'll be okay. Thinks the regulatory agency should not go through Dean because on policy matters they need to work with someone else. Said he had talked to Casey, who was agonizing between administration and economics at the State Department. Flanagan argued he should take administration, mainly because he has a candidate for economics. Said Ross Perot doesn't want his appointment to the Academy Board of Visitors anymore. John Dean called, said Chapin appears to accept his fate. He thinks that I'll concur and that he's rethought his general stance and has asked Moore for Moore's advice. Moore's still rocky on it, went over the potential lists of things last night. Dean is clear on his recommendations and there were no new problems this morning when they testified to justice. I had my meeting with Chapin this afternoon, which was a pretty horrible experience. I had to go through the whole thing with him. He basically does understand, I think, although it's very, very tough on him, and he broke down and cried at the end of the meeting and said that he couldn't face leaving, but would probably be able to do it. He's got a lot of ideas on job opportunities and so forth, and I think once he gets moving on it, he'll find that actually it's a good move for him. He wouldn't have been as well off to stay in as he will be to get out. Met with Ziegler for a long time after dinner tonight to go over restructuring the press office. I think we've finally worked out a reasonably good plan, and we'll try to get that into motion right away. End of November 28th.